There's a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live at the Elder Dragon Journal podcast. This is your host, Igor, and as always with me is my co-host, Niksha. Say hi, Niksha.
Hi.
What up? Niksha. We haven't been heard for a couple of weeks.
I lost track of time, so I have no idea how long we didn't do.
This is the second week of not doing it.
Well, since we're doing it, we can break the second week of not doing it by doing it.
If you send me the recording fast enough, yes.
Okay, I'll make it so.
But yeah, we were going to have actual topics to discuss this week, and then the wizards hit us with all the Modern Horizon spoilers. So guess what? Another spoiler cast.
No, we didn't.
That's a lie. I actually prepared. So how was your last 2 weeks?
Didn't play that much of Commander, because people weren't showing up for some reason. But okay. But I did have quite a funny match of using Sig by angering our good friend Mate that was on some random psychotic frog.
Random.
Yeah, he was talking about something licking the frog or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a good mate and I don't want him to do drugs. So I just killed his frog, his git frog, right?
I mean, friends don't let friends do drugs, so yeah.
Friends don't let friends do git frogs.
Yeah. See, Mate, we do this because we care.
Yeah. I mean, he got a bit angry after the third time in a row I killed his frog. But, I mean, I did warn him. I did warn him that he should not use the dredge -1/-1, what's it called? Dark Blast, to kill my zombie lieutenant. Because that was the only, like, good card I had at that time, and for an extended period of time. So, and he killed it. I had to hold my end of the bargain.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could say that my commander of the week is Sig / Yuriko, because I still can't decide. But I'll probably go with Sig, because I like all those prowl things, mechanics. I'll see.
You will see. Anything else you did, commander or magic-wise?
Just making a standard deck.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be doing some Vivian's Arcbow, flashing cards like Fibblethip and Tolsmith.
You know, the usual tier 1 strategies.
Yeah, of course.
Spark just doubling being
them. Yep, spark doubling them, and you know, why have a 1-1 Fibblethip when you can have a 2, I guess.
What the hell, Niksha?
2 cards is 2 cards. I can't really turn that down.
I mean, that's a point. 2 cards are legitimately exact 2 cards.
So yeah, that was mostly my Magic week. How was your?
I had actually 2 doozy weeks, commander-wise. First week, we went to Andras and I drafted the Boring Control in Cube. Pick one was Black Lotus. I was like, well, I can do anything now. I just picked up things like Balance and Planeswalkers and more removal, and it was nice.
Okay.
I won like 2 games out of 3. I lost against Tess, who just stomped me. Surprise. But the game 3 was most fun, because the guy drafts a reanimator deck, right? He draws a hand, it looks nice, so you know, it's okay. My opening hand was Lotus, Mox, Land, Jace the Mind Sculptor. I was like, I think I'm keeping this hand. It just took me a bit to win, I had 3 cards left in my library.
Mm-hmm.
But turns out that just, you know, brainstorming every turn is kinda good.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Week 2, we went to draft the cube again. I drafted some dumb bullshit. It was actually horrendous. But guess what Tess drafted for the first time in her life?
Control?
No, mono blue. Okay,
Control?
To be more precise, she drew Jitte, she drew all the swords, and she drew 3 named Nemesis and the Mishra's Workshop.
Okay.
I go to play against her. I keep my hand. It's a bit slow. I it could be fine. Mishra's Workshop into a Sol Ring, into a sword or something. I was like, well, This doesn't bode well for me.
Yeah.
Couple of things later, she had to name Nemesis. She equipped the sword on, onto it. I was like, okay, sure, yeah, you win. Good, cool. But yeah, I also got a bunch of new cards for Alicia.
Mm-hmm.
I got Fulminator Mage.
He's a cool one.
I got Neheb. And you know what's the sad thing? I value Neheb more than I value Fulminator Mage. That's kind of sad. Also, put Withered Branch, because our good friend Mate started playing a frog, like you said.
Yeah. So just hating graveyards is pretty good now.
Yeah. The first victim to this was actually Andro. He was playing his Muldrota. Can you see where this went?
Was the Genesis wave. Not the Genesis, but the Primal Surge Muldrota.
Of course not. Only you would play that. No, but he, you know, had a bunch of synergies like Oblivion Stone and things like that.
Yeah, but you know, he had Muldrota, so that means that his graveyard playground, but you know.
Yeah, until a stupid zombie cleric shows up.
Stealing all the fun.
On one game yesterday, not me, but Robbie, the resident Bloodpod player, played the turn one Rule of Law. It stalled the game for so long because at the time of the table, it was him, it was the frog, and two food chain decks.
So you were playing Commander in the true spirit of Commander, one spell per turn.
Oh no, you know what we were actually playing? We were playing Glorified Limited. Oh, he has a 5-5. Oh god, this is scary, you guys. Ooh, he drew two cards. What are we gonna do? No, it was actually a stupid game of Limited that ended up with game stalling for so long that he managed to try to combo out twice and then succeeded for a third time. Highlight of the game was he goes to reanimate Kikijiki with the Karma Guide, right? Mate Noxious Revivals the Kikijiki in response. That was the most beautiful play of the evening.
Nice.
I also put in Blind Obedience because that seems to be a good card for our meta. And Mate just randomly last night asked, does somebody have, you know, a new border at the Wooded Foothills? I was like, I do, why? Do you want the old one? And I was just like, you're really asking me, do I want an old border card? So now I have that. So that was nice. Those are my 2 weeks in Commander. It was nice, and, you know, I'm looking forward to this new set coming out. Speaking of,
we are now a spoiler show. So, we have a bunch of things to go through, so let's not waste any time and go in. And we're starting out strong with the man in himself.
You mean the most broken thing coming out of this set for Commander?
And rightfully so. So who is he?
Urza, Lord High Artificer. 2 blue-blue for a 1/4 legendary human artificer. Wow, he doesn't pass the vanilla test. What the hell? When he comes into play, you create a 0/0 colorless construct, basically. Artifact creature token with this creature gets +1/+1 for each artifact you control, right? Because he made Karn the Silver Golem. Get it, you guys?
Yeah.
Also, he can tap an untap artifact you control to add a blue to a mana pool. So that's already stupid. And then for 5 mana, shuffle your library, then exile the top card. Until the end of your turn, you may play that card without paying its mana cost.
It seems fair.
It seems stupid.
Well, at least you shuffle your library first.
No. This ability is actually on an artifact. I can remember how it's called. From the good old days.
Yeah, I remember it.
But
it's also on unexpected results.
Yeah, but this is repeated.
And, you know, when it's kind of becomes really good when you can just exile your entire library
in one
turn.
Winning with the new Jace or Lab Maniac becomes much easier that way. But let's go through each ability separately and just see how absurd it becomes. First, honestly the most innocent of them all, just creating the construct.
Yeah, it's just depending on your deck, it can be just a 1/1 dork or, you know, a beefy monster.
Honestly, if he comes into play with, like, it being 4/4 on when you cast him in the early game, I wouldn't be surprised. And that's the most honest of all abilities he has. Second one is silly because you can play things like Null Rod in your artifact deck. And it won't hurt you. You can play Turnisphere and then tap it on the end of somebody's turn.
You can also do that with Winter Orb.
Yes. He does things that something like the Teferi could not. Because Teferi couldn't run all the stacked pieces. It wanted something like Nalard was a big no-no because he had Chainmail.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. Of course, you still want to do... you don't even need... Yeah, you can just play the Paradox Engine with him.
Yeah, and suddenly Paradox Engine is no longer a freeloader that requires others to produce mana. He can actually do the work itself.
Yep. And the last ability, once you get to infinite mana, which you will, you just win the game in any manner of things you want. You can brain freeze your opponents for all you care.
But now that we have Urza, then, you know... Yawgmoth might just be, you know, behind the corner.
I'm hoping for that. Mono black artifact, Commander?
Well, let's just start with having him at all in the set.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll see what he'll do.
I mean, if I'm gonna speculate, I wouldn't actually mind seeing that. Because that's an archetype we haven't seen.
A mono black artifact.
Yes, artifact commander. Mm, because
I guess,
Yawgmoth does two things. He was A, black mana to the core. And B, tinkering with artifacts.
What, then he was he also, like, a doctor?
He was. That's
so maybe they'll make, like, Yawgmoth, the village doctor or something like that.
The village doctor. The village barber slash bloodletter.
I mean, he's still a doctor. He's got a doctor's degree, so...
Want to hear a random side note from history. In the Middle Ages, if you told your mother you were going to become a doctor, she would actually be ashamed of you because everybody saw doctors as quacks. Because they were, basically, for that part of history. Mama, I got my doctor's license. Why couldn't you be a farmer like me and your father? Why do you disgrace me?
Why do you disgrace our family so?
Why do you hate us? You want to give your mother, that is 23, a heart attack?
Going to live for 5 more years. Why do you do this to me?
Also, another side note, when people say, you know, average lifespan was 30 years, they mean that everybody died around 30. It meant that there was a huge child stillbirth and child mortality rate. So that's the thing.
Yeah.
Because everybody gets that wrong, and that annoys me to no end. But let's go back to Commander, shall we, Nick? What's the next spoiler?
So, we got an interesting one. Plague Engineer. And Plague Engineer is engineered plague on a creature. So mm-hmm. It's a 2 and a black for a 2/2 creature carrier with death touch. And as it enters the battlefield, choose a creature type and creatures of the chosen type your opponent's control get -1/-.
He has the perfect stats to be either, you know, recruited by either of the recruiters. He gets brought back by Lesha. He gets brought back by Sun Titan, by the way. And Nixia, what are the things that this guy kills?
Ballista.
I mean, yeah.
It also stops the crazy cat lady combo.
Mm-hmm.
It stops a bunch of Kiki combos, including creatures with 1 power.
Mm-hmm.
And it kills dorks.
Also, it kills Najeela tokens.
It kills warriors, it kills elves. It gets rid of Markov's tokens
mm-hmm.
until a lord drops in and then... You
know, yeah.
You're dying by that time.
You're doing the best you can.
Oh yeah, just another little side note. Going back to Urza, with Urza finally being the set and him being blue and him being legal and modern, I can finally play a blue Urzatron.
Oh god, of course he had to go there. Honestly, he doesn't seem bad in a blue Tron shell with, you know, artifacts and stuff.
Never mind the artifacts, he's a mana sink.
He is, but my point is, hey, you get a big beaver to smack people around with, you get the mana sink, you get everything.
Well, actually, in Blue Tron, not that he isn't that good, because there's a lot of instants with, like, repeal. You really don't want to get to play repeal, ever. Remand doesn't do it. Remand actually remands itself.
Yes, it does.
But Condescend doesn't do anything. I mean, it scries for 2, but you don't really want to play pay 5 mana to scry 2. So I was thinking more around the, like, if I would play him in a blue Tron, I would have to redo it to be less controlly and more with big stuff, but that's not the spirit of blue Tron anymore. Hmm. That would be like a splash of blue in green Tron, but then you're seriously pushing it.
Honestly, I don't think anybody would see it coming. So I'm playing my mono green Tron, sure, fine, it's Urza. What?
wait.
Oh yeah, you know, just casually.
5 mana, I shuffle my deck, look, it's Ulamog. Wait, what?
Honestly, you get this guy in, you minus your second current Planeswalker, if you play that guy. Oh look, my 2 guys are huge now, smack you in the face. And then you get an Eldrazi.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds legit. Or I can experiment with him in Blue Steel. I mean, mm-hmm. he's not an artifact, so I can't dump all that Grand Architect mana into Urza. But then again, it allows me to tap. He's like a tertiary mana producer for the deck.
He also brings an artifact, so that's nice.
And just maybe for that Paradox Storm with all those artifacts.
Huh. Also, cool card thing about this card. The art looks like it's freaking Avengers Endgame type of art.
Yeah. He's like, Karn Structs, assemble.
He finally said it after almost 30 years in Magic, but okay, sure. Are we done with the Engineer?
We cool with Engineer. He's simple and effective.
Super effective. Super effective, and I'm going to play him in like at least one or two decks.
And I'm pretty sure that this means we're not getting Toxic Deluge in the set. Mm-hmm.
It's fine, honestly. By the way, this also stops kobolds.
Yeah.
Yesterday we had actually Lady Gaga in play, and that actually stopped this from coming out.
I mean, I don't really know why people don't like me playing Lady Gaga. I mean, I just drop the Elish Norn and nobody does.
I don't like it because it kills my deck.
It kills all the decks.
You know, that's why. Moving on to something a bit hunkier. Seasoned Pyromancer for 1 and a red. It's a Human Shaman, 2/2. When he enters the battlefield, discard 2 cards, then draw 2 cards. For each non-land card discarded this way, create a 1/1 red elemental creature token. And for 5 and exile him from your graveyard, you create 2 1/1 red elemental creature tokens.
Really, I just forgot he had that part.
It doesn't matter.
So, it's a cross between Young Pyromancer and Faithless Looting.
I mean, first of all, it's Young Pyromancer that actually grew up. You see it in the art. Young Pyromancer is still a better card, to, you know.
Yeah, and if you're playing 3 mana, you might want to consider playing Monastery Mentor.
Yeah. However, if you're playing Alesha in EDH, this guy's wonderful because you know what he does? You have an empty hand. You draw 2 cards.
Also, he has the perfect stat line.
Yes. Just, you know, playing him, discarding 2 important combo pieces, and then drawing 2 cards on top of it all is actually...
I see him as another way, as like a gathering of critical mass of cards to allow me to cremate people in Modern.
With the Giant, right?
Kragenwick Cremator, yeah.
But yeah, if I get this guy, I think I'm just gonna take out Tormenting Voice. It has to be Tormenting Voice for this guy.
Definitely.
Because I'm not cutting Catatric Union or Faithless Looting for this.
So all in all, he is quite an interesting card.
He is, and I don't think he's gonna break Modern, so his price isn't actually gonna be that high.
Well, yeah, it's not the point of this set to do anything to break Modern, but to
help
brew in Modern.
My point is this isn't gonna be the chase card for the set because everybody wants to brew with this in Modern.
I really hope so.
Honestly, with things like even Plague Engineer, I think that Pyromancer is...
Mm-hmm.
Next card is a freaky one, isn't it?
What, Ranger Captain of Eos?
No, the Drinker.
Or do you mean the Snekko?
The Snekko. What does the Snekko do?
I mean, the Snekko isn't really anything exciting for me. I mean, it's a... So it's a 1 green for a 2-1.
Passes the vanilla test.
So it's a cool Savannah line for green. But it also has level up for 1 generic mana. On levels 3 to 7, he's a 4-4 with protection from instants, and levels 8 and plus, he's a 6-6 protection from everything.
Mini progenitors. You just have to sink in 9 mana instead of, you know, 10.
Well, if you look at him as a 4 drop, he's like a good 4 drop because for 4 mana, it's a 4-4 protection from instants. That's decent.
If you're gonna be applying this to Commander, I would rather play something like a Mana Gorge Hydra instead of this.
Oh yeah, I mean, he just doesn't do anything. Like, almost ever.
Protection from everything is quite nice. However, if it said protection from everything, your opponent's control would be much nicer. Because this guy would like to actually carry some swords.
Well, you just put him before he gets protection.
Doesn't it fall off?
I can't remember because they removed protection for a reason.
I think it falls off though.
I know that enchantments do fall off. No. What? They do.
Unless they have a specific line of text that says they don't.
Yeah, there's that series of enchantments that don't actually drop off.
Yeah, protection from, let's say, white, but it doesn't fall off. That was the Hex Drinker. It's a cute Sneko. Art looks nice. Now you mentioned some range Captain of Eos for one and a white. It's a human soldier. Ranger of Eos grew up. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3-3. When he enters the battlefield, you may search a library for a creature card with CMC 1 or less. Reveal it, put it into your hand, and shuffle your library. Sacrifice range Captain of Eos. Your opponents can cast no creature spells this turn.
I don't like the sacrifice part.
Meaning
I don't like it because he's not flickerable.
Oh, yeah.
But hey, look, he's riding on a Savannah Lion that's a 1 cost, and he has a birdie that's probably a 1 cost. But he only tutors one of them!
Actually, that lion is 2 mana, if I remember correctly. White and a Lato, I think they're called. 1 and a green for 1 something.
It's a green and white for a 1/5.
Oh yeah, it is a 1/5.
But it's 3/3.
I'm pretty sure that birdie is a 1 mana 1.
Santa
Hawk or something definitely. Like that. Guy is nice, not sure what I would get with him, but I think that that's because I'm actually playing the color green. I think that's the thing.
I mean, the Ranger of Eos is good because he tutors 2 cards,
yes.
And this one just, you know, it tutors 1 card. He tutors it a turn earlier, which is nice, and he has a...
You know when you sacrifice him? A day before his retirement.
Wow.
he got an old, so you know.
I mean, it's a cool way to protect your, like, if you grew your board, and then at their upkeep, just sack him so you don't get a random Wrath of God or something.
Honestly, I wouldn't mind if he was 2 and a white, and he gets something that covered mana costs 2 or less.
They kept to the flavor, I guess. Even but, though, you know, being a ranger captain now, that
you can actually requisition better troops if you're a captain.
Yeah, he's hardly really grew up. The only part of him that grew up is his selfless sacrifice.
And power and toughness, isn't it? Oh no, Ranger Rios was also 3-3, wasn't it?
I think it's a 3-2.
Yeah, because I can't get him with Alesh and that annoys me to no end.
Mm-hmm.
Oh well, carrying on.
Other than that, yeah, he's not that exciting.
If you can flicker him, but if you want to flicker things, get Ranger Wheels better than...
If you're flickering things, you're flickering Flicker Wisp, and Flicker Wisp isn't flickering Ranger Captain of Eos.
Commander-wise, this could be okay if you actually know turn your opponent must, you know, combo off.
If you can return him at the end of your turn every time, then okay, you just keep on sacrificing him, but...
Sun Titan and things like that, if you're flickering stuff...
But you have 3 opponents. If you're pulling the proper commander, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying, you know, this is the best card. I'm just trying to make a point, but I, you know.
Oh. Okay, but you know what doesn't need making a point?
What?
Archmage's Charm.
What does it do?
So it's a triple boo for an instant. You choose 1. Counter target spell. Target player draws 2 cards. Gain control of target non-land permanent with converted mana cost 1 or less.
Oh crap, if we get something with Ranger of Eos, they can take it from us. Damn it.
Yep.
This is a neat spell.
It is. It has 3 mods, and all 3 mods are relevant 90% of the time.
You take their Death Shadow.
You take their Death Shadow. You take their birdies. You take.
Wait for the Aether Vial to take up to good number.
Yeah, you wait for the Aether Vial, and then you just yoink it.
Yep.
And it takes up.
So our modern deck is gonna be playing this.
I mean, yeah, and the triple blue isn't like a restrictive cost because decks that would be playing this are playing
cryptic
command, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, the triple blue is nothing new for them. And it's, you know, the gain control of target non-land permanent commander cost 1 or less is very relevant.
You have a bunch of things in modern that are actually... Commander-wise, not so much, although you can take dorks.
Yeah, and, you know, drawing 2 cards or countering a spell is, like, mm-hmm. really good flexibility. I mean, the card is just good.
I think this is actually, yeah, this is a modern card. Let's, you know, just push it for modern.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's go on.
Next one got our resident Bloodpot player a bit, you know, his panties in a twister. Force of Despair, the first force we're gonna be covering. For one and a black-black, it's an instant. Destroy all creatures that enter the battlefield this turn. But it has the first line of text. If it's not your turn, you may exile a black card from your hand rather than play its dispel's mana cost.
Yeah, and this is the same ruling for all forces, so we'll just skip that line from now on.
But this does many things.
It's a way for black to kill Animar. Just saying.
Oh yeah. You stop some of the Kikijiki combos. If they include some of the Golem Bombardment, you're still shit out of luck.
Yeah.
Actually, you're not. You just respond to them tapping the Kikijiki for the first time if he entered the battlefield.
Or targeting the Kiki.
Yeah. If Bloodpot try to do its Bloodpot thing.
I mean, it's an instant speed mass removal. For it's limited to creatures that enter the battlefield this turn. But that's kind of good enough.
Yeah, for 3 mana, honestly. Instant.
Sometimes free.
I was gonna say, if this was an instant, it wouldn't be working as nearly as good as it should be. Okay, I pay 3 mana to kill all my guys. Your turn. What?
Wait, what? Then they're living and resolves. Oh.
Also, Niksha, the art. It kind of looks like the Terror from the 10th edition.
Yep.
You see basically the Onion Knight from Dark Souls.
Yep.
Being super murdered.
Being super murdered in more ways.
No Siegfried, no! Siegfried was a cool guy. Anywho, what's next, Niksha?
Oh, a win condition for Feather.
Is?
So, Aria of Flame is a 2 and a red enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, each opponent gains 10 life.
OP.
But that completely doesn't matter because you're going to be taking those 10 life and then some. So, whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, put a verse counter on Aria of Flame, then it deals damage equal to the number of verse counters on it to target player or planeswalker.
The first idea that popped into my mind was a false cure on a scepter. And then you blink this.
Yeah, but that's the normal way.
Well, like I said, the first idea I had.
What I'm going to do is put it in a feather, and it's one of my Stormwind conditions.
Oh yeah, you are gonna be casting a couple of spells each turn. You get this and Yisen into the same deck and you proliferate all the verse counters?
Of course.
But honestly, this is a weird card.
I mean, especially the part where you give your opponent 10 life.
You have a Tybalt out in the field.
Oh wow, yeah, okay, Tybalt suddenly modern playable?
Honestly, the second Tybalt, actually not bad. Okay. He's not super good, but honestly, not bad of a card.
Not super bad anymore.
I played with Tybalt a bit on Arena and stuff. He's fine, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I actually can't say anything bad. He does the thing you exactly put him in the deck to do. Unlike the first Tybalt.
Also,
first Tybalt, yeah?
Yeah, no, go.
First Tybalt is here to either put your win condition into graveyard or keep it into hand, depending which you need. If you need it in your hand, it's in the graveyard, and vice versa.
I mean, from this set on, the first Tybalt officially reached a complete meme status, and we'll get to that later.
Oh, yes.
So, Aria is also good in, like, an Is It Spellslinger deck, because you have that Flux Channeler that you basically double the count. You get 2 counters per cast, which is pretty cool.
So, you play the Channeler first, you play this, and then you cast the Gataxian Probe. Resolve the Aria of Flame first, resolve the guy second.
Yeah, that's
sheesh. Yeah, that can actually get out of hand real quick. And then you just gush or something like that.
Yeah, because why not?
Because that's still legal in Commander, unlike in some formats. Womp womp.
Moving on. We have another enchantment.
This is also a weird one. Unbound Flourishing for 2 and a green. Enchantment. Whenever you cast a permanent spell with a mana cost that contains X, double the value of X. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell or activate an ability, if that spell's mana cost or that ability's activation contains X, copy that spell or ability. You may choose new targets for the copy.
So when doubling things with Riku isn't enough, you just go and double that doubles.
I mean, if you had a Hydra tribal deck, guess what you're going to be doing there?
Oh, maybe because the art depicts a Hydra?
Yeah, also if you're playing Roshin Meander deck, and if you are, kudos to you, you're a masochist, but I respect you. This also goes into...
Well, for Modern, it's a really strange build-around card.
Yeah, definitely.
It definitely gets the brewer juices flowing.
But let's get back to Roshin Meanderer. But just getting all the... You tap her for 4 mana, right? You let's want to cast the Genesis Wave.
Suddenly.
It's like 8 at least. If you're not sinking any more mana into. Sheesh.
Well, it's not actually 8. You get 2 Genesis Waves.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's also kind of...
I mean, you can also cast that one Nissa for, you know, instantly just ultimating a couple of turns at the same time.
The Hydra that's in standard being played right now, the Krasis, right?
The Krasis.
He also becomes kind of okay with this.
Well, suddenly he becomes... Okay, it's not half X, it's just X.
That's fair.
Yes, it
that's
is.
The way the designers wanted it to be played, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of nifty things you can do with this.
I mean, Ballista?
Ballista? Oh, yeah. Banefire?
Banefire, yeah.
You can just name a bunch of cards.
Yeah, we could just go on naming cards, but I think that we get the point. Everyone
but Ballista makes me laugh. Ballista really makes me laugh. I mean, I just sunk in 5 mana. Oh my god, though. I mean, I just sunk in 6 mana because you can't actually. Endless one.
Endless one? Sure.
Holy crap. Let's bring the Eldrazi winter again.
No, well, we'll try. At least with the mono green Tron X? X Tron? Like, ignore those Karns and things. It's all about the flourishing.
You don't want to be casting Karns.
You can be casting Ballistas for 20.
Easy. What's the next card, Miksha?
Oh, speaking of Tron. Winds of Abandon. For 1 and a white, it's a sorcery. It's Path to Exile, but restricted to only opponent's creatures. And it has overload for 4 and double white. So for 6 mana, you play Path to Exile on every opponent's, each opponent's.
And then you have Zozo the Punisher in play.
Fail to find, really. Okay.
Okay, then you just for 6 mana exiled all their dudes. Oh no! What's the worst that happened? I just made this card completely unfair. Or you win the game, one of the two.
I mean, we have our ways of players not being able to get those lands, so...
Or not being able to search the library.
or, you know, not even having that much basics.
Yeah. Would you play this, though, in Commander?
I would? I don't know.
Now you're just thinking about it, and you're just like, that's a lot of lands.
I mean, the older me would be like, yeah, why not? I mean, you just get rid of everything. Who cares if they have a lot of lands? That's what the Settler Wreckage does, and it's still played.
I mean, you want to be the most absurd with this? You pay 7 mana. 6 for Overload, but 1 for Quicken.
Yeah.
Quicken is a good card.
And why was I mentioning Tron? Because it's a 6 mana board wipe that can be played in Mono White Tron. For whatever reason. Because it also serves as a single target removal, but it can also be a mass removal like Cyclonic Rift.
Yeah.
Right?
I like the actually just 2 mana Sorcerer Speed Exile dude if I really have to. You mostly see it as a sweeper, but it can act as a single target removal just as easy.
And that's about it about that card.
Want to talk about the card that actually passes the vanilla test like a motherfucker? A Bazaar Trade Mage. For 2 and a blue, it's a 3-4 flyer. You're going to be winning some games unlimited with this one. He's a wizard, which is actually important. And he enters the battlefield, draw 2 cards, then discard 3 cards.
So, discarding. Really can't say anything about this one because I don't play Dredge.
Already have Magus of the Bazaar, but that requires a tap. And it's a 0-1.
Yeah. This one just comes in and does the Bazaar of Baghdad thing.
Of course, the thing that you like in Dredge about Bazaar of Baghdad is that it's repeatable.
And it's...
Yes. However, when you pay the mana for this guy, you know, he can smack faces. Also, if you're playing Inala, this can, you know, serve your... Inala Reanimator, to be specific. He helps that archetype really well.
I don't know, I'm just not impressed with the guy, because I don't really know what I would do with him, because, you know, Corridor doesn't have blue in it,
Yep.
So you know, what's the point then?
Our good friend Cedrus, the motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
He can take use of this guy, and then you unearth this guy.
Yeah, okay, that can work.
I kind of want to rebuild Cedrus.
Or remember we were talking about that Chromium reanimator strat?
I want to puke right now.
Talking of puke, let's skip Force of Rage. Move on to...
Oh god, Force of Rage is so bad.
And let's move on to Ayula, Queen Among Bears.
We finally get the general for Bear Force 1. What does the Ayula do, Niksha?
So, Ayula, Queen Among Bears, a 1 and a green for a 2-2, legendary creature bear, because it's a bear.
Yeah.
Whenever another bear enters the battlefield under your control, choose 1. It becomes a bear, or you put 2 +1/+1 counters on target bear. So you don't have to actually put it on that one, you can dump all the counters on one bear and make it a super bear. Or target bear you control fights target creature you don't control.
Sheesh. You basically get the... What's the spell called?
Savage Punch.
Yes! you know what makes me sad? That her identity isn't Celestia. Because you can't play the best bear, which is Mirror Entity. Like, Mirror Entity wouldn't help this deck out.
I mean, it would go against all the deck represents, and those are 2-2s, because Mirror Entity makes them not 2-2s.
Ajula makes the bears not be 2-2s anymore.
They still retain their base power and toughness 2-2, Mirror Entity erases their bear identity.
No, she bears them to the fucking max.
Or bears one bear to the bear.
But I'm glad that those five people who had Bear Force 1 decks finally got their general. Actually happy
now,
for them.
Now they can replace that 4-mana not a bear with an actual bear.
Yes. You can play the 4-mana not a bear in this deck though.
You know, looking at this card, I will have to revisit bears for in green to see what would fit. You know, if I'm playing Green Tron and I'm not using walls, I need another 2-drop, you know? Maybe there's a 2-drop bear that's bearable.
That has the right to bear arms? That isn't modern legal, right? Or is it? Werebear isn't modern legal.
No. Nope.
Or?
Not yet.
I really hope it is. After the set, I really hope it is.
I mean, the set lacks threshold.
Yep, that's it. Speaking of other things that this set lacked, what's the next card?
Astral Drift. Not Astral Slide, but kind of better.
You catch my drift? What does the card do?
Okay, Astral Drift is Astral Slide. But okay, so 2 and a white enchantment, when you cycle Astral Drift, or cycle another card while Astral Drift is on the battlefield, you may exile target creature. If you do, return that card to the battlefield under its control at the beginning step. And it says cycling for 2 and a white.
What this doesn't do, but Astral Slide did, was it triggered on any cycling.
Yeah, but what this does and Astral Slide didn't is do it itself.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's not a downside because most of the time when you're playing, let's cycling deck either in Commander or Modern, how often do you see...
Even if you go into the mirror match, it's like...
It's sure, whatever.
Sure, okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's a Drifty card and Zul Cycling decks, which we really have in our meta, what the fuck, are gonna be using this to its full potential.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good upside that it itself cycles.
Mm-hmm. I really like cycling as a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
You slap cycling on anything, it becomes instantly better.
Yep.
Don't think we need to talk much about the next card, because...
Flusterstorm is a reprint, so whatever.
And it's a really, really good card, and that's all you can say about it.
Well, there goes the storm mechanic for the set.
Yay, but the Sling Gang Lieutenant is fun.
Sling Gang Lieutenant instead of Siege Gang.
Yep, for 3 in a black, it's a goblin, surprise, surprise. It's a 1-1, so you can actually tutor it, that's good. When a Sling Gang Lieutenant enters the battlefield, create 2/1/1 red goblin creature dog. Sack a goblin, target player loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. Freshly promoted to first rock, Zaz was eager to make an impact. So is this actually kinda hinting that Lorwyn is gonna be the next set?
Well, let's hope.
But yeah, this is a silly card, and it's actually a good card.
It's important to note that it bypasses Gisela,
mm-hmm.
and it bypasses Urza's power armor.
Oh, yeah, and we have figured out that that's the most powerful card you can be playing a commander, right?
Andor actually doesn't pass Orbs of Warding and target the player.
No. Elish Tunnel still fucks this up.
Definitely.
But, you know, what you gonna do?
But, yeah, that's basically it about this card. Next up we have Goblin Engineer. This is probably the closest we're getting Stoneforge Mystic in Modern. So it's a 1 and a red. It's a 1/2 creature Goblin Artificer. When it enters the battlefield, you may search your library for an artifact card, put it into your graveyard, then shuffle your library, and for a red and tap and sacrifice an artifact, return target artifact card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. And lo and behold, swords are 3 mana artifacts.
What does Vince say? Keep Stoneforge Mystic banned in Modern.
So, it's a combo enabler,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, having Entomb in something that's not black,
yep,
is kind of good.
Niksha, honestly, if you have this guy out and the actual Goblin Welder, you just tutor for the thing you want in your graveyard. And you didn't even have to use this guy's ability. Screw this guy.
I mean, it's a bonus recursion engine for, mm-hmm. I don't know, Scarecrows?
Or, you know, just go get Mycosynth Lattice into your graveyard. And then get Karn.
And then, yeah.
And then Welder with actual Welder, not this guy.
And here I was thinking that Karn is as it is in Modern.
Now you can actually play it in Commander. You've been asking to have a sideboard for a good while now in Commander.
Yeah, and it's for everyone's sake, let's not have a sideboard.
But you know what this guy gets? A Tanglewire.
A Winter Orb.
Oh god, I'm liking this guy already.
A Trinisphere.
Yay!
A Nodlot?
Mate is gonna be liking this.
And Cursed Totem.
Yay!
And the sphere, the Torpor Orb.
I think this guy and Alesha might actually become friends.
Yeah, also 1/2. So, mm-hmm. really good stat line.
Yay! Next card is the card you were actually happy about. It's a good old Commander staple, Genesis. For 4 and a green, it's an incarnation. At the beginning of your upkeep, if this guy is in your graveyard, you may pay 2 and a green. If you do, return a target creature or a card from your graveyard to your hand. Now, Niksha, why were you actually hype about this card?
Well, if by any chance you have Oris Semite Guardian in play, you can discard an Oris for his Grandeur mechanic, or
her
Grandeur mechanic, and make people silenced and unable to attack, and then when your turn starts, you pay 3 mana and you get it back, and you keep doing that. You keep being an annoying little brat.
Yay!
So,
and Commander-wise, Genesis is just a good card.
Yeah, but Genesis existed for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's not really that expensive. Not even the Judge foils aren't that expensive.
This is actually going to lower the price even more, because it was printed way back when in Judgment, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was the basically only printing, notwithstanding the Judge foil.
And it was, for a long time, it was a very powerful card.
Yep.
And now we have it in Modern.
Yay. Do you even talk about the next virtue?
No.
Actually, Force of Virtue, it's an anthem that you can, you know, do on somebody else's turn for 4 mana. However, this could actually murder you quite easily.
It can also save you from Plague Engineer.
And Elish Norn, if the stat line is correct.
And it makes you bypass Gisela and Urza's power armor, apparently.
But this would be silly if, you know, somebody attacks with a bunch of guys, they're like, okay, yeah, I can take this kit.
And then surprise you don't.
Turns out, no, you cannot. They're like, oh. Or reverse, I can get this kit even if they flash in Force of Virtue. They flash in 2 of them. Son of a bitch! I want to talk about a really hype one.
Go ahead.
Force of Negation, 1 and a blue, instant. Counter target non creature spell. If that spell is countered this way, exile it instead of putting it to its own graveyard.
So yeah, this is the fixed Force of Will.
Mm-hmm.
For Modern.
It hits only non-creature spells, and you don't lose life for this one.
And it functions only on your opponent's turn, the free version of it. And that's kind of, you know, completely fair.
Yeah,
and
that's
still actually completely good.
You can still do the thing that Forcible actually does, is that screw up combo pieces.
But it can't help combo pieces by countering other forces.
Also, you know, when that stupid, let's say that shadow comes into play, you're like, oh, well, I don't like this.
I'm not liking this one bit.
I will not counter it though, because...
Yeah.
And you can actually play Bob with this one, because getting hit for 3 and getting hit for 5 are two completely different things.
Mm-hmm. And it's another free spell for the Vile Smasher.
Oh, yeah. And all in all, it's a good card. If you can get it and you're playing blue, get it?
Yeah, this is one of the chase rares.
I
think this is the chase rare.
Yeah. Next card, the Accomplice?
Yeah. So, Plane Bound Accomplice is 2 and a red for a 1-3. So, almost perfect stat line. So close. Human Wizard. And for 1 red, you may put a Planeswalker card from your hand onto the battlefield, sacrificed at the beginning of the next end step. So it's sneak attack for planeswalkers.
What's the flavor technique?
I told you I had friends.
Yep. Okay. Honestly, it's fun to be flashing in planeswalkers from the War of the Spark that has static abilities. You play let's say all is dust. In response, have a flash in a Tamiya. Things like that.
Yeah.
Actually, this guy gets much better the more war planeswalkers you have. And just getting, you know, Ugin for just one mana is always nice.
Mm-hmm. Then again, using it for just one Planeswalker activation is... It's kind of weird, but, you know, flickering Planeswalkers is a thing. Like, Venser flickers himself.
And then you get to keep him.
You get to keep him. Sundial of the Infinite ends the turn, so you get to keep them.
Yeah.
So there's ways you can bypass this, and if you're playing, well, if you're playing Mono Red Tron, it's another way to put in your, you know, Karns and Ugins.
A thing you can always do if you have Doubling Season out.
And with Doubling Season, you just, you know, one mana get an ultimate.
That's the thing. You can actually win with the Planeswalker deck quite fast that way.
Yeah, you just have to not play Waterfake. The default command player.
Atraxa,
yeah.
Honestly, this is a big incentive not to. Because, yeah, you get to proliferate each turn, but I get to win in a, like, turn or two.
Yeah, especially if you get the old Tamiya ultimate, because
old,
then...
Yeah.
Okay, they're sacrificed, but they're in my hand again.
Oh, God, Nixia, this actually sounds wonderful.
Yep.
But, yeah, this is actually making Planeswalker decks into freaking combo decks, and I like that, because the only grip I had with, when you were playing Super Friends was it took so long to anything to... This way, oh yeah, we're actually doing this. Next card we have is a fun one because it's a Seismic Bearsalt. Ayula's Influence for a green, it's enchantment. This card, a land card, create a 2/2 green bear creature token. So we were mentioning a frog deck Mate has, right?
Yep.
You attack with... You actually don't attack anymore with your Thymna. Because you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, suddenly the full force of the Bear Force 1 is upon you.
Yeah.
He draws cards and he makes bears.
This is another outlet for him to combo off and also give him beaters that can win him the game anyway. Cool card. Really specific. Goes into like 2 to 4 decks in Commander. But you know.
And I was thinking like... this way you can make green-blue. My first thought was like, well, you can make a... Instead of a 2-card combo, you can make a 3-card combo with hitting your birds, drawing some cards. But then Ayula says that you fight with a creature you don't control.
Womp womp.
So yeah, no, that
shenanigans. Cool card!
And then, speaking of shenanigans, we have Discount Mother of...
You mean the Daenerys Stormborn Queen, Mother of Dragons and all that?
Yeah, so it's Giver of Runes for 1 white. It's a 1/2 core cleric. Thank Corza, it's not a human.
Thank God it's not a human.
For on tap, another target creature you control gains protection from colorless or from the color of your choice until end. A fixed Mother of Runes, but then again, a fixed Mother of Runes is still a pretty good card.
Still a Mother of Runes. and she doesn't protect herself, and that's what made her actually obnoxious.
This one's less obnoxious, and it can actually save a creature from those random colorless wool spells.
Wouldn't you have liked that like 2 or 3 years ago? Because Tess is still bringing that up.
Wait, which one?
When she played that stupid 4-mana Eldrazi, the Void one, and you had Mother Runes out, she dropped a removal spell, and you were like, come on, remove a Mother Runes. And she was like, fine, target her. You looked at the card, read a card, looked at her, and you were like, I still have to give her protection from black. And then she got exiled. Yep. Now, you can still be a cocky bastard.
So yeah, it's a cool card for Modern, definitely to try out something in Death and Taxes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 1/2, which is quite nice. You know, dodges a Plague Engineer.
Yeah.
And yeah, nothing really much to say about this card. So we can move on to something a bit more spicy.
What do you want to talk about? Slivers are slivers. Oh, by the way, slivers are back.
Yeah, and what I wanna mention is the Dregscape sliver.
Yep, the Inert Boy.
It's a 1 and a black for a creature sliver, 2/2. Each sliver creature card in your graveyard has Unearth for 2 generic. And he himself has 2 generic Unearth. And the thing is, it's really not that hard to make creatures in your graveyard slivers, no matter what they actually are. So, you know, reanimation outlet for any creature type, suddenly, that's kind of okay.
You play adaptive, whatever it's called, the blue enchantment that makes all...
Yeah, I know.
You play that, you play this against Cedrus. Now all your Unearths are 2 mana.
Well, value.
Actual card I want to talk about was the Deep Forest Hermit. For 3 and a green, it's 1/1, Elf Druid, Vanishing Tree. And he enters the battlefield, create 4/1/1 green scrolled creature tokens, and scrolls you control get +1/+1. Even more cube deliciousness.
Because it's Deranged Hermit.
Yeah, but the fixed version.
Worse for Reanimator, but better for, you know, just value creep decks.
Yep.
And Flicker decks.
Oh, definitely. Plus, if you have Proliferate Engines, you can keep this around indefinitely.
I mean, you would rather Flicker it to get your army of squirrels.
Yeah, sure, but I'm saying if you have Proliferate Engines, also works.
Mm-hmm.
Not much more you can actually say about that one. You get huge squirrels.
Yeah, I don't really see it... super powerful, modern, like, at all.
Nope.
I mean, you're not gonna go and take your vial to 5.
Yeah.
You're not.
I think this was actually not a cube player.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And the odd uncube players as well.
But the next card. Now that's some spice.
What does it do?
So it's Sisay, Weatherlight Captain. So we get yet another Sisay. 2 and a white for a 2/2 legendary creature human soldier. And she gets +1/+1 for each color among other legendary permanents you control. Unfortunately, a colorless isn't a color. Whatever. And for Vuburg, you search your library for a legendary permanent card with converted mana cost less than Sisay's power, put that card onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library.
I'm really sad that Mate isn't here because he actually already brewed the deck around this on the CDH version and it's actually kicking ass.
I don't know, it doesn't go through Seth's Tiger.
So what's the actual joke with Seth's Tiger, Nixon? And yours as a...
Okay, so, the joke is that, there's a lot of these decks that are filled with, win conditions that revolve around, Kiki, making infinite copies of 1-power dudes, and I was just trying to find a card to joke in the comments of his decklist, just so I can, like, say it doesn't go through Seth's Tiger, just to make him a bit more mad.
You mean Seth's Tiger, probably better known as Seth and all of his scatter on the internet?
So yeah, it started with just Seth's Tiger, because Seth's Tiger apparently stops every combo known to man from killing you, except for the stupid Ballista.
Womp womp.
But hey, combat damage, I got you covered. any other form of, you know, goblin bombardment, no problem. Like, everything. It just covered you from everything. And then I went on a And then I went searching for other cards. Then we got Urza's Power Armor. We got Warp's Warding. And all this jazz. Which led me to think about a Voltron Commander. But not in the sense that you're buffing your commander to become the unstoppable force. But buffing yourself. Like, you don on your Urza Power Armor. You get your Orbs of Warding protecting you. You get your Urza's Glasses so you can see better, so you don't miss lethal. And when you gear up for battle, then you can assume the form of a dragon and actually kill someone.
Honestly, while, the best way to...
While being completely unkillable yourself.
No, no, you need to kill them with Life Cannon because you're using your Life Essence to kill people.
That too, that can work too. Also, you need the Darksteel Forge so they don't destroy your epic gear. So yeah, I can see something working around this. So yeah, from Sisse. Now on...
We were talking about Sisse.
Okay, well, still, from now on, infinite combos need to pass the Seth's Tiger test.
But what's the opinion about Sisse from you?
It's a cool super, friends.
Sure.
It is.
Hey, you can get her with bring her back with Lesha and get the recruiters for her. That's nice.
You can also, you actually. I was going to say tutor her with Sisse, but you actually can. Sisse can tutor Sisse, but Sisse can't tutor.
Why?
Because one is a five color commander, and you can't play it in your two color commander.
I mean, you know.
In that case, you can tutor Sisse, but you know, the other way, you can tutor.
Just
Sisse.
Have her in some other deck that can tutor the Sisse.
I'll try tutoring.
Yeah. Next card I'm just gonna mention because it's my favorite card ever and it's Factor Fiction, it's finally modern. And the flavor text is actually perfect description of how it feels to play Factor Fiction. I really hated the cocky Jace, you know, pretend like you know, like... No, I like this. Every choice is a joy. And that's it. No need to flaunt that you're that much better from your opponent because you are, you're playing Factor Fiction. Just, you know, enjoy the experience.
Yeah, I already substituted the Gifts Ungiven Blue Tron with Factor Fiction. And I must say, it's a real joy seeing your opponent squirm. Like,
yep.
Okay, with Gifts Ungiven, they have a choice what to give you. With Factor Fiction,
they also have a choice.
They kind of have a choice, but yeah.
What I can't wait to see is to see SCG or something like that having, you know... I want to see a GP coverage. Modern players sweating through Factor Fictions because we Commander players have been doing this for years. Legacy and Vintage players have been doing this for years. Modern players haven't. Some of people haven't been born when this card was played. And this is gonna make me happy to no end. I love it. Mm.
Yeah, it's a really...
It's a great card to cast. It's a really fun card to actually be opposed to. Because you actually, as an opponent, have good input. You can actually, you know, make decisions. And it rewards you for knowing the meta if you're playing modern. Rewards you for knowing the decks.
And it's a super interactive card.
Yes. It's super fair. It's a really strong card, but I don't think it's broken.
It's definitely not. And the only problem with Factor Fiction for modern, aside from the Blue Tron, is that there are just too many good four-color spells in Modern.
Oh no!
And, you know, Factor Fiction is it has a tough competition.
Yep, and that's good, because Factor Fiction is not going to break anything.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, if other four-cost options are expensive, this is a very good budget replacement.
Yes, for three and a blue, easy.
Because most of the times, it's a 4 mana instant speed draw 3 cards.
Also, it's like less than 50 cents. That's also nice.
Yeah, but the foils aren't.
Tess gave me for a birthday signed Japanese foil of, you know, the original printing.
Mm-hmm.
It's at least 8 euros now. Mm. And you know what I actually like about this card? If you're playing modern, you can bring all the beautiful looking old versions of the card and be playing them. You're like, just, yes, this was good.
Yes.
If only you could play Psychotalk.
Well, we're just 111 spoilers in.
Hooray! what's the next thing you want to talk about?
Just a quick mention of Goblin Matron finally being in Modern.
Don't think she's gonna be good enough, but she's good.
Well, she's kind of not just her, but the Auntie's Hovel is spiking like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Of course, because look, a goblin that's good got spoiled.
And a black-red goblin that's good got spoiled.
Yes.
But
we'll move on to that. Okay. Next one is actually a good one. Make sure, what does it do?
It's a force of vigor, so it's 2 and double green with the normal force wording. Destroy up to 2 target artifacts and or enchantment. I like this. It's a 2-for-2.
Quick, easy, you just ship some stupid orc and you're fine.
Really nothing much to say. It's just a good card.
Now it's gonna take us like a row or two to actually get to a good card, right?
I mean, Undead Ogre is a cool zombie.
Yeah, whenever he or another zombie you control dies, you draw a card and lose my life. It's a 2-2 for black-black.
And it's a zombie wizard.
Yeah, it actually matters. It actually matters. King of the Pride is a nice meme card because 2 and a white for 2-1. He's a cat and other cats you control get +2/+1.
So he makes your Savannah Lion.
I mean, a 4/2/1 mana is action. I actually wanted to talk about the first ninja in the set.
Yeah, this ninja is actually fantastic.
What's actually good about this card, I read the article that previewed this card. It was actually designed with ninjutsu in mind. Changing outcast for 1 black. It's a shapeshifter, changeling. Changeling outcast can block and can be blocked. It's 1/1. This was actually made with ninjutsu in mind.
So let's hope there is actually more ninjutsu in the set.
We saw at least one more.
Yeah, just the one.
Yeah. Next is Regrowth, nice, good reprint.
I mean, let me just say that Changeling Outcast, it's a common and it's a 1/1, but this is going to be a staple.
In so many decks.
Yes, especially like in Yuriko, this is so good because it's an unblockable ninja.
Yes.
In
Markov.
In Markov, it's an unblockable vampire that also makes a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
In Rogue synergy decks, like in my Sig, it triggers Prowl. And, yeah, I mean...
If you have some like Timna out, this is a perfect card.
It's a warrior. It's also a sliver.
Honestly, I might play this guy in Alesha. Even though he's just a shit, he can block. But you know what he does good with? Odds maker. You
and
draw a card.
And that one that draw a card and lose a life.
Yes, that works. Timna works, this guy. So many things get triggered off of it.
Like
honestly,
never underestimate the 1 mana 1/1.
Yeah. This guy is actually a common applicable in so many things. If you have something, like say cares about whenever you cast a dragon or a goblin or an elf, he does it.
Yep. Or like, whenever a dragon deals combat damage.
Yes.
Like so many things.
Whenever a soldier attacks.
Yep.
Whenever a warrior attacks, things just pile up.
Speaking of piling up, let's just mention this. This one is like primarily for Modern. It's Scale Up.
Actually, before we go that, we mentioned Regrowth. Diabolic Edict is back. That's
yeah,
good.
But the problem is that we have Liliana's Triumph.
My point is you have all of these effects. Now you can actually get much easier get more Diabolic Edicts because Edicts are good. But Scale Up, Niksha, this is your card. You have to talk about it.
No, this is not my card. I fucking hate it. So, Scale Up is 1 green for a sorcery. Until end of turn, target creature you control becomes a green worm with base power and toughness 6/4. So you turn a creature you control into a
Crow
worm.
Yep.
And it has a completely worthless other part of text with overload, whatever. That doesn't matter. The overload part is, like, it doesn't matter at all. The thing is, this setup sets up a turn 2 infect kill, like, super easy.
Yep.
Because you just need, like, Groundswell or Mitefold Krosa and Scale Up, and you win. It's 10 infect.
Yep.
That's what...
I see why you hate it now.
I mean, you really didn't have to give infect anything ever again,
and it'll still be a good deck.
And yet here we are with 1 mana +5/+3.
Niksha, let's move on to happier subjects. What about that?
Yeah, okay, sure.
Let's talk about the fact that I'm just gonna kick out the anguish that I'm making to the fucking curb like a worthless piece of shit it is. And replace it with a generous gift, because for a two and a red, two and a white mana, apologies, instant, beast within.
Except they don't get a beast, but an elephant.
Who cares? Alesha blocks that piece of shit like a motherfucker. Doesn't matter. Because I would much rather give somebody a 3-3 than lose 3 life. And this is easier to cast. This destroys a permanent, not a non-land permanent. I still might actually keep the worthless piece of shit anguish I'm making because it exiles. But I might replace some piece of removal for this.
Also, what I was commenting, I was thinking like, actually wasn't. This is just me, stupid. This is just my random ramble. If you wanted to make a blue-white death and taxes, you can now include Kefnet. Why would you do that? I have no idea why you're even playing blue-white death and taxes. And you don't have to splash a third color or green to play Beast Within. You can just play Generous Gift now.
You just need to pay one mana for it. It's good.
It's a one white destroyer permanent, and they get a 3-3 green elephant, which you can flicker.
Yay! let's not give Vince any ideas. Like he's gonna listen. What's next? Squirrel Nest is nice.
Squirrel Nest is nice.
I showed it to Tess, and she was like, "Ooh, let's." I actually want to play Earthcraft combo. Earthcraft is like 38 euros. So let's not play Earthcraft. What about that? Yeah. What text do you want to talk about, actually?
Splicer skill is just a nice callback to Splice, and it's Splice onto Instant or Sorcery instead of Splice onto Arcane.
This actually means they might do it in the future.
Pondering Mage is funny because
it's legal.
He does Ponder, and the art is actually the second art, but seen from another perspective.
Also, this card is actually legal in...
Yeah, because it's 5 mana.
It's a ponder that you can actually, cast. Next card, I wanted to just mention what you said in the group chat, Niksha.
Oh, Dumezawa's Charm.
Yes, yes.
So now we can actually have the Duel of Jitteis on two different fronts.
Yeah,
so,
but the thing
so let's, okay. So Umezawa's Charm is one in a black, instant, choose one. Target creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn. Target creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn. You gain 2 life.
But the thing I liked what you said, now we have actual proof that each counter on Jitteis was worth 2 mana.
Yeah, so each hit with Jitteis produces 4 mana.
Yes.
It's just that insane.
If you actually needed to prove that that card was stupid, and it is, here you go.
So, well, if they made it 4 mana, choose 2, that it would make the card actually quite better.
Yes, I need to show you. Oh, Jitteis was stupid. Hey, we finally have Jitteis in Modern.
Kind of.
Yes, just not repeatable and stupid.
What do you mean not repeatable? Do you not remember a certain scepter that you can use?
Let me change my words. Most of the time, not repeatable.
So, yeah, we can actually duel with Jitteis by using charms on scepters. And the scepter looks more like a lightsaber then.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let's move on. We have quite a bit of cards.
Spingloom Druid. Actually good.
It gets it.
No. This, unlike Harrow, doesn't screw you over when it gets countered.
Yeah, because it has to enter the battlefield.
For 2 and a green, a Springbloom Druid, it's 1/1. When he enters the battlefield, you may sacrifice a land. If you do, switch a library for up to 2 basic land cards, put them onto the battlefield tapped, and shuffle library, it puts them into play tapped. It's worse than Harrow. Mm. So,
But it doesn't kill you when it's countered.
It doesn't make you super sad.
Well, Love of Dart is a cute reprint. Actually, probably more relevant than we think.
Because Phoenixes are a thing?
Yeah. And, you know, free storm count.
After that one, Nimble Mongoose is an interesting one, just because of Legacy and things like that. Because this is the art that was used on MTGO, by the way.
But then again, a 1-mana 3-3 with Shroud, it's not going to do that much.
You usually play it in a Delver deck, a Rug Delver. because you're going to get a lot of instances to give it quite soon. You just smack him in the face. Fun card is the Savage Swipe. For one green, it's a sorcery target creature you control gets +2/+2 until end of turn if its power is 2, because it's a bear. Then it fights target creature you don't control. 9 generations of metalworking skill are no match for 900 pound of rage. Yes.
Spore Frog. Now legal in Modern.
Yay.
With Genesis.
I mean, 4 mana for repeatable fog. Okay, sure. Do it. It's fine. It's actually fine.
Yeah. Next up, well,
multicolor.
Here's the card we talked about earlier.
That's gonna humiliate Tybalt even more.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it do?
It's Renan 6 for. It's a legendary planeswalker Ren. It costs green and red. Has 3 loyalty for +1. You don't lose the game. Rather, you return up to 1 target land card from your graveyard to your hand. For -1, it deals 1 damage to any target. And for -7, you get an emblem with instant and sorcery cards in your graveyard have retrace.
Okay, let's break this each ability apart. First ability, you return 1 target land from your graveyard to your hand. People have already thought of this scenario. You play a land, right?
Mm-hmm.
You play exploration. You play these guys next turn, right? And then you play a strip mine.
And then you keep strip mining.
Yes, you can strip mining one motherfucker that you don't want to have actual game of magic. Second ability, you kill any dork you want. You kill Talias. You kill so many good things with it. Also planeswalkers. Also, Luminarch's Ascension will not actually be triggering on your turn. So this is super useful.
Also, for +1, it's a 4 loyalty planeswalker.
Yes.
For 2 mana.
Mm-hmm.
And -7 is just, you know, it doesn't break the game, but it's really powerful.
But Niksha, imagine a Demonic Tutor with retrace.
It's really powerful and breaks the game, okay.
Imagine Cyclonic Rift with retrace.
Uh-huh.
This is actually a super strong planeswalker for 2 mana, and you can actually do it and not break the whole game. Good job, Wizard.
So yeah, like one person in the comments said, this just further proves that Tybalt isn't a horrible planeswalker because he's 2 mana. He's a horrible planeswalker because he's called Tybalt.
Yes. Honestly, but in their defense, they actually needed to make a first one bad to see, okay, what can we actually do with 2 mana planeswalker?
Yeah, but they didn't. Continue their mentation, so.
They did! They made 1 mana in the next block.
Yeah.
It broke Modern because Deathrite Shaman is a card.
And apparently broke Legacy as well.
Yeah, and they were like, okay.
Let's not make 1 mana planeswalker.
Let's make it 2 mana and see what. Okay, this balance actually seems balanced. Okay, good. I like this card. Next one. Niksha, we have the first Sliver. For Wooburg, it's a 7/7 because, of course, he is. Legendary creature Sliver. Sliver spells you have, you cast have Cascade, but also the first Sliver has Cascade. You know how Nimbus was the best 5 color food chain deck for like a whole month?
Mm-hmm.
Scratch that. It lasted for a whole month or maybe a bit more. Here we are.
Yeah.
The Maro had the best reaction to this guy because in his comic he was like, the first Sliver, I'm a first Sliver and I give to all other Slivers. Wait, what other Sliver? But yeah, finally with good art, with good biology,
we
with
have
good
the
legs.
Slivers back.
Nice. Not much you can say about that. For Slivers, super strong. For Food Chain, super strong.
What if he said, like, he has Cascade, but also has the first Sliver spell each turn has Cascade. Like the first Sliver.
Oh, God. Now I'm actually sad they didn't do it. I actually want this dumb bullshit in my life.
Well, now that we're mentioning Slivers, let's just mention another one that's actually kind of legit. It's actually really legit. It's Cloud Shredder.
Oh, he's super legit.
For red and a white, it's a 1/1 creature Sliver with Sliver creatures you control have flying and haste. Now, no long do we have to play blue to get flying in Modern.
Yep.
I mean, by we, I actually do myself because I would never play that Gale Rider Sliver because it's not a Sliver.
Yes.
And now I can finally not play him and actually maybe do some Vile Slivers. Vile Slivers?
Yeah. But this, the Shredder, super strong. Plus, it's Sky Shroud Knight, was it, in Ravnica?
Mm-hmm. It also has a similar pose, so it's like a callback to it.
That's the point. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is actually... But Nixia, the card you actually need to read is between the first sliver and the... Because it's your card.
Yeah, so we got Sekiro. I mean Fallen Shinobi.
Nixia, how many times do shadows die?
Apparently, a lot.
At least twice.
At least twice. So, let's go over this. Fallen Shinobi is 3 blue-black for a 5/4 zombie ninja with ninjutsu for 2 black and blue. Whenever Fallen Shinobi deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles the top 2 cards of their library. Until end of turn, you may play those cards without paying their mana costs.
How does this scale? How does this rate on a ninja scale?
Well, this is actually among the more powerful ninjas. Like, I think it's actually one of the best ninjas because it not only semi-draws you 2 cards, it actually plays those cards.
So, MVP, Changeling, Outcast, and this guy are BFFs, right?
Yes. But you also need a way to keep on returning Fallen Shinobi.
Of course.
But then again, it's 4 mana. You just simply play the Key to the City. That's
I was going to say, then you just play Ninja deck as you usually do.
Just play the City and that's it. And I was just commenting, like, I just want them to bring some ninjutsu cards in this set. Because ninjutsu is, for me, one of the best mechanics of the game.
Fun fact about that one. Wizards actually love ninjutsu. You know what's the problem?
It's too restricted to Kamigawa?
No, the name. Just the name.
Just the name.
If you called it Sneaky Bastards being sneaky, and that was the first thing it was called, you would already have much more Sneaky Bastards being sneaky abilities.
I mean, they did, but they did just rename some abilities in new Ravnica block. So they can do it with ninjutsu. They can like change it. There's like literally nothing to change about it actually.
Yeah, just the name. That's it. Because they're like this ability is actually great.
I mean this. Because it's amazing. It's a really good skill testing ability because I attack with a 1/1 into your 3/3 and like it's like do I block it because he might have a trick. If I don't block it, he might have a trick. It's like, what am I supposed to do? Come on, no.
It encourages combat. That's nice.
Yeah, and Ornithopter becomes like an amazing creature because he's a free creature that enables ninjutsu.
Yeah.
For free, basic, almost. Well, not free, you still have to pay the ninjutsu.
But, you know.
And I mean, this is a really cool thing that they have ninjutsu, but I really wish there are like 1-2 more, like one in black, one in blue, just to, you know, sprinkle some more ninjutsu in the set.
Yeah.
Because they can.
They can do any set, it's this one.
And the comment about it being Sekiro, I mean, it's a fallen shinobi. He was dead, now he's alive, he's a zombie.
And he has a prosthetic arm.
And he has a prosthetic arm. This is really cool.
Also, the comment of, how is he falling? He seems to be hanging out just fine. Conjuring is next?
I didn't actually read the article, but I heard that they said that it was actually a close call. They almost just reprinted the Mistblade Shinobi. No, not the Mistblade Shinobi, the Demon Ninja.
Demon Blade Oni or something like
that. Demon Blade Oni. They almost reprinted him, and then they're like, let's make this instead.
Good.
Because free casting 2 cards is a bit better than free casting 1 card.
I mean, I love actually the demon, but more ninjas are actually good.
And this leaves room for blue to actually be Sakashima's student.
Yes, please.
Collected conjuring. Igor, what does that do?
For 2 and then is it sorcery? Exile the top 6 cards of the library. You may cast up to 2 sorcery cards with a numeric cost 3 or less from among them without paying their mana cost. Put the exile cards not cast this way on the bottom of your library in random order.
So it's literally collected on, not all of them.
It's a Coco.
It's almost collected.
No, even the name is Coco.
Yeah, it's still Coco, but it's not instant.
It's much worse when it's sorceries and not creatures.
Yeah, but in Commander, I don't really see much use for this. But in Modern, there's definitely things you can do with this.
You know what I like about the card? The card is showing me gang signs and it wants to fight me. And apparently, from what I mean from the card is that Wu-Tang Clan is nothing to fuck with. You know. Thanks, card.
Yep.
But you were saying actual serious things about this card.
Yeah, it's actually legit for Modern. Like, it's another way to trigger your feet off of one spell.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really that good for Storm, because what it doesn't actually cast the Kamigawa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, but you know, you can. It's just another way to cast those free, those no mana cost cards.
You know what this does card? Manamorphosis is an instant or?
It's an instant.
Aww. I mean, good, but aww.
But yeah, it's not really up my playstyle doing with these cards, but you know, balance, future sight, and all the other shebang.
Those are cards with CMC less than 3.
They definitely have less.
Sheesh.
You know what's a good card also?
Hmm?
The Strix. You know, the Strix that...
Baleful Strix?
Baleful Strix, yeah. It's a good card. Well, we got something that's sometimes better, but it's still good enough.
You really need to work for it, though.
So we got Ice Fang Kotal for green and a blue. It's a 1/1 snow creature snake. So, with flash flying, and when it enters the battlefield, you draw a card. And it has death touch as long as you control at least 3 other snow permanent. So at 3 snow basics, it's a better Strix, because flash flying, draw card, death touch is really good.
Kinda good.
And we haven't seen a lot of snow support, really. But then again, we're still just halfway in.
Yeah, we've seen some.
We've seen some, but nothing really major. But yeah, this is a cool card. That's like, I mean, for 2 mana, 1/1, flash flying and you draw a card.
And it's sometimes death touch.
Sometimes death touch, that's pretty good.
Pretty nice.
So, it's probably going to be something like Snowmic, like Snow Simic, or Snow-tie. Still trying to find a phrase for those. Snow-tie. That's a Soul-tie with snow permanence.
You're trying a bit.
I am.
What's next that we should talk about?
Ball Blightning.
It's fine. Good Fortune Unicorn is actually good.
Yeah. Moving from a rare to uncommon more excitingly.
But this is a surprisingly strong card.
It is?
For one green and white, it's a 2/2, it's a unicorn. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on that creature. An offense just says non-token. This actually, you know, pumps your all the guys that come into play.
Oh, combo enable.
Yes.
Persist Enabler.
Yes.
Pretty good card.
Your Kitchen Finks are gonna get you all alive.
Forever.
What's next? Oh yeah, the wait for Sliver decks to win the game.
With Lava Belly Sliver. It's a 1 and Boros for a 2/2 Sliver. Sliver creatures you control have when this creature enters the battlefield, it deals 1 damage to target player or planeswalker and you gain 1 life.
You know, kill them all.
When you have that Brooding Sliver and you get all those Slivers tokens and you have nothing to do with them, well, turns out you can just win the game with them.
Or when you have Food Chain and the first Sliver out, you just cascade him a couple of times.
Yeah.
Next is the Goblin you already mentioned.
Yeah, the Munitions Expert.
For Rakdos, it's a 1/1, creature Goblin. Hey, you can play him in Alesha, but why would you? Flash. When Munitions Expert enters the battlefield, you may have it deal damage to target creature or planeswalker equal to the number of goblins you control.
So it's similar to the Gempalm Incinerator, which could, mind you, still see print in this set.
Would be cool.
And this is the reason that Auntie's Hovel is spiking so madly. I mean, not just this, but the promise of...
Bunray?
Oh my god, that's a flying shark.
What?
In the background.
Oh yeah, of course it is. Or wouldn't it be? Jesper Ensing made the art, and he is a bit of a weird guy.
It's probably also a reference to Charbelcher, because they just stuff it full of stuff and shoot at things. So yeah, putting a weaponized shark in your cannon seems like a good idea.
I mean, why wouldn't you put a shark in your cannon? I mean, what else are you gonna do with it? What? Yeah.
Next card, just for the flavor text.
Which one?
Thundering Djinn.
What does it say?
So it's a three. So it's a three and blue red for a 3/4 Jin with flying. Whenever Thundering Jin attacks, it deals damage to any target equal to the number of cards you've drawn this turn. It strikes like a bolt from a brainstorm.
Get it, you guys. Get it.
The only problem with this is that you're going to deal 4 damage because you've drawn a card for the turn.
One point. Maybe you have a necroport out.
Yeah, but that's not brains.
No. You have a necro out, so you can't draw a spell for turn.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You do that, you attack, you read the flavor text, and just pick up your cards. You won.
Yep. Everybody else picks up their cards.
No. You draw your cards, put them in a trash bin because you won magic.
And then just leave. That's it.
Yeah.
You just did it.
You're done. You can't actually beat this moment. You just send a message to WotC. They just make you the champion for each year as long as you're alive. And then the other schmucks are fighting for second place.
Everybody else fights for the title of honorary champion.
No. The first loser.
Yeah.
That's the title. Because, yeah, that guy, he won. What else can he do in Magic?
Yep.
He just, like, casually. Next card is interesting.
So we're going to colorless?
Yes, because who cares about nature chat? Honestly. So, Sword of Truth and Justice. For 3 mana. Equip creature gets +2/+2 and has protection for white and blue. Whenever a equip creature deals combat damage to a player, put a +1/+1 counter on a creature you control, then proliferate. And equip of 2. This sword has relevant protections.
It has relative protections, but The keywords aren't that relevant.
Which part is... I guess proliferate is blue?
Yeah, proliferate is blue. And okay. +1/+1 counter is white because of... You know, you have that 2 mana proliferate thing in blue. And you have that 1 mana put a +1/+1 counter in white.
Of course, if Tess gets a hold of this, she's going to be playing it in Saskia. Because of course she is.
Because it's a sword.
It's a sword, yes. It's a sword that protects her face. And smacks people.
And it's a sword that makes Alesha bigger. No, not Alesha, Saskia bigger.
I mean, oh no, she cannot actually put the plus counter on my creature, oh no. But yeah, that's all we can say about it. Next card is interesting.
Mox Tantalite. So it has Mox in its name. So it must be good, right? So it's an artifact with no mana cost, but suspend 3 for 0.
We've seen this movie already.
And for an untap, you add 1 mana of any color. And this is like the suspend Lotus Bloom.
This is actually super fair.
This is actually super fair, and it's probably too fair for its own good.
Good, honestly. Good.
I really hope it's so fair that it's going to be cheap.
It's going to be Mox Amber prices?
I would say even lower than that, because Mox Amber is actually quite more playable.
Oh, good. I'm actually looking forward to that. Also, you do realize what's going to happen with this in our playgroup. It's gonna get suspended on turn one, and just as it's about to come into play, Trinisphere is gonna hit it.
Yeah.
And Mate is gonna be super.
Yeah, and he's like, it doesn't matter, the games are done by then. Yeah, no. That's the Trinisphere turn. That's when the games begin.
No, the stupid games are limited.
But guess what? At least you have a Mox in.
Yay! That maybe will not actually even tap because Tony Silence is out. Niksha, what about the best ninja commander ever?
What do you mean the best ninja commander?
It's the best
everything commander.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, you're right.
So, okay, so I'm going to cover this because there's a lot more I want to say about it than just commander.
That's why I asked.
So, Morophon the Boundless is a 7 mana 6/6 legendary creature shapeshifter with changeling. As Morophon the Boundless enters the battlefield creature type, spells of the chosen type you cast cost Wooburg less to cast. This effect reduces only the amount of colored mana you pay. Other creatures you control of the chosen type get +1/+1. I honestly forgot this part of the text.
So, first thing you do, you name Avatar, right? You make a Spark Double of this, or Sakashima, and then you play Progenitus for free. Done. Nice. And it's even 11/11. Or actually 12/12. Sweet! But you were actually going to cover things.
So first, let's go over some janky commander combos. So you have that one card, I can't remember what it's called, but for one blue, you can change all instances of one creature type into another.
Something evolution?
Yeah, whatever. So you play Morophon, you name Zombie, okay? You get Hakon from your graveyard back, and you turn his... No, I messed up. You actually don't have to do anything with that card. You just play that that blue conspiracy thing and name Goblin. And then you just put in your Fling Gang Lieutenant, and then you just cast Gravecaller for free in just second.
Oh, that's actually not that bad of a combo.
I mean, just, you know, having more fun naming zombies and having Gravecrawler in your deck, that's a combo by itself. You know, a free Gravecrawler. So you do whatever you want with it. But the other one is, you name Goblin, you get Hakon out, you transform Knight into Goblin, and then you use Starfire to win the game.
Hey!
And now enough of janky combos, let's talk about his real place in this. And just his mana cost will tell you everything you need. He costs 7. He's a 3-drop, right? Right? He's a 3-drop. And he makes your Bringers cost 0. And you don't go for that lame black Bringer. No. You go for the blue ones. And probably the white ones. And possibly the green ones. Because they actually do stuff. The blue one especially means drawing 2 cards, which can draw you into your other Bringers. And you know, what I'm getting to is you can play it in Tron, because 7 mana, or you know, the deck builds itself, can't you?
Easy.
I mean, what else do you do? I mean, I can see that stupid Fist of Suns spiking like crazy. I don't care. I don't need no fists. I just need my Bringer boys.
So they can do the fisting?
Yeah. And also, since I'm planning on doing this in Green Tron, because I have walls to be my backup mana for this.
Of course you do.
The green ones are actually hard castable, you know. So, free Bringers that make 3/3 beasts. I'm sure that after more careful delving, I'll find more stuff to do. And, you know, things will just get weirder from here.
As they do.
Go on. Is there something else?
Alter Dimension is gonna be legal in Modern. Get it. Alter Dimension is nice. Unless the Master Core. It's a stupid card. Apparently it's a winning combo. So, I told this to Nixon. He was like, wait, what? Unless the Master Core for 2 mana. As an additional cost to cast, discard a card. Okay, this action might not be bad. It says discard a card. I like it.
And it's a 2/2.
Yes. For generic, Lesser Master Core deals 1 damage to target creature. It has persist. So, the thing you do, you get you flash in a Hulk. You get Melira Silver Outcast, you get Viscera Seer, Disciple of the Vault, and discard. And that's it. Only thing you need.
The good old days of killing people with Disciple of the Vault through
Hulk. Good old days, memories. He says. Horrible memories.
memories of let's not do this thing again.
We have actually discussed this yesterday. We went through our CDH decks. Why are we running all of these stupid cards? Some of these cards you wouldn't even pick up in Limited, but we're playing them. This is one of them, by the way. Next card you want to talk about is the thing.
It's a Scarecrow.
That's the only thing we need to say about it. Or is it?
So, Farmstead Gleaner is a 3... generic for a 2/2 Scarecrow, artifact creature, of course. It doesn't untap during your untap step, but for 2 and untap, put a +1/+1 counter on Farmstead Gleaner. So let's just see. Oh no, Alter. Oh. Okay, everything fell apart. Like, everything fell apart right now. I thought Alter was 3, man. I confused it with Phyrexian Alter. But let's imagine a world where Altar of Dementia is 3 mana. This was my plan. Farmstead Gleaner is 3 mana. Altar of Dementia is 3 mana. What gets both of those cards? That's right, Treasure Mage. Where can you play Treasure Mage that includes the format Modern? Blue Steel. What do you do in Blue Steel? You have Grand Architect, which can transform Farmstead Gleaner into a blue creature. So he taps for 2 mana, And then you use that 2 mana to untap him to put a plus one counter on it. And then you just do it over and over again until his power and toughness are 7, let's say 70. And then you sacrifice him to Altar of Dementia, which you can pretty easily play because you're playing Blue Steel, and then just mill your opponent for 70.
Of course, that's all hinging on one small fact, right?
Yeah, that Altar of Dementia costs 3, but because now it's not tutorable outside of things that are not creatures.
Fabricate?
So you don't play Fabricate because then it's that's not a creature.
That's a point. Mm-hmm. That can get it, but you know. Yeah.
So that goes out the window and Altar of Dementia remains to not do it.
I mean, it still kills people with Kiki-Jiki and stuff.
It also mills you, so you get a Labman win.
Yeah, I often use it with Fiend Hunter and Sun Titan to kill people.
It's a sack outlet.
Yeah.
Fetchable by Karn. So,
it's a, you know. Niksha, no, it's a free sack outlet.
Free sack outlet, fetchable by Karn.
Yeah, and there is just one more thing we need to discuss, right? Actually, two more things. We have snow cover lands in each pack, that's nice and all dandy, but we have the canopy lands.
Yep, and they are all in enemy colored pairings.
So what does that mean, Niksha?
It means the frog got a bit more silly. Because nurturing Peterland, is the black green canopy land. So for one mana, you just draw two cards with the Gitrog.
I'm actually aiming to get a couple of these.
Unless, you know, they cost an arm and a leg.
Yes, that's the.
Which is a real possibility, actually.
It is.
Because we have the waterlogged grove, which is fantastic for Tatyova. We have Silent Clearing, which is fantastic for Death and Taxes. Niksha,
you're putting it wrongly. Waterlogged Grow, it's actually kind of good for the Boggles, right?
And for Boggles.
Yes, put it that way, just put it through Modern decks. Sun-Baked Canyon.
Boros Burn.
Yes. Silent Clearing, I'm betting that at least Death and Taxes are going to be playing something like this.
Definitely.
Wouldn't be surprised if Junt plays the Nurturing Peterland.
And Fiery Islet for, you know, Phoenix.
For any red-blue deck.
Like, any red-blue deck.
Yeah. If I can actually snag a couple of these, I will. But we'll see. Thing I might actually be able to snag is the Prismatic Vista.
Oh, let's hope we will.
What does it do, Niksha?
It's a fetch land for basic land. Like, literal fetch land, so you pay one life and sack it, and you search for a basic land card.
It's good, it's not broken.
And it puts it into play, not tapped, it just puts...
That's wonderful.
The only problem I have with this set is that it has only 5 snow-covered lands.
Yep.
My snow-covered waste? Come on, man.
Give it a couple of more months and Zendikar will go there. Because literally it's gonna be winter in a couple of...
I just wanted some snow-covered waste that you really couldn't include.
You know what is this set gonna cause? You know all those people that got extra permanent lands so they can play their snow island, snow lands? Turns out, everybody's gonna be having snow lands.
Yeah. And it's not like snow lands are a first thing ever. I mean, they existed for like 20 years?
Yes, but how many people were playing Magic back then? What was the supply?
We have those first series of snow-covered lands. We have the Cold Snap series of snow-covered lands. Why did people forget? Oh, because they're expensive.
Yep.
Because getting 20 basic lands actually costs you a lot.
It's going to be funny when somebody plays Exile lands, exiling their, you know, legit planes, and the rest of the table looks at him, oh no, I only have snow-covered. Oh no. That's gonna be super funny. But that's it from the show, from the spoilers so far, right?
Those are the spoilers so far. Unless there was a surprise spoiler, like, just midway with us talking. The
nope.
Sword is still the last one. That's it.
This was a long one. Don't forget, we were supposed to have a guest on this one. It would have been even longer.
We would actually talk more in-depth EDH. Tactics.
I mean, we might actually do that next week, depending on the timing.
Well, we're definitely not going to talk about how Renan 6 just broke Oathbreaker, because who cares? Yeah, that's about it. I mean, the set is coming out soon. We only have half of it, and I'm looking forward to more wild mechanics people probably hear for the first time, like snow-covered lands and retrace. Let's hope there's more ninjas. Let's hope there's more slivers. There's definitely gonna be hopeful. And they're not gonna finish the cycle of swords.
No, definitely not.
There aren't enough mythic slots for that.
That and they want to space it out, I think.
Let's hope for a legendary worm, I guess. I mean, we got it with Morophon. So I guess I'll be trying out that.
There you go.
We got a bit more combo pieces, some good stuffs, and this will probably make Modern a bit more interesting, because none of these cards outright break the format, but they do offer a lot of brewing potential.
Also, there is Factor Fiction.
Also, they brought Packer.
Yay! Is that it from the show?
That's about it?
Well, this has been episode 92 of the Elder Dragon Doodle podcast. It has been another spoiler cast, and always with me has been Niksha.
Yes, in fact I was.
In fact he was, and in fact, the Emperor has protected.
In fact he...
My brothers has been swallowed by the ground. Unbelievable, insatiable thirst till lines break. Tide sweats and rushes forth, my arms shake. I am swallowed by the storm surge. But I will turn from this, we will emerge from this. Ignore the creeping dread that slid us up our spines from this. Yet I'm the final dirge. Hear me! I command a standard, so we'll stand and face a chaos scourge. I count the days as they come, turn to a monks now. Still with perseverance we raise the body count. Besides the pangs of pain, know that I know your face. You know mine when every death is repaid. Burning bastions sanctioned by your chaplains. Line up every sight while I align the battlements. 10,000 lives burn out in a blink. With a stalwart step prepared to hold before this brink of the precipice. While I twine with disaster, crying a funeral song. One reason that to hold on. Show me the war, master! And those I thought were my brothers have turned their backs on the fold. The Edmunds I time now hold. We hid ourselves in the dark. Foundation shook. Stepped out of the sunlight to re-emerge. Luna wolves. Now we wait on our haunches. Coiled. Soon I will find my vengeance gets a despoiled. I can't forget the sight of their becoming poison. Suffering immaterial death. Fate unavoidable. Knife meets madness. Brothers meets bloodshed. Return to give the devil tapping to the serpent's head. Backstabber turncoat. Chain of command failures. Minotaur lower swords as it ducks through your defenses. Tide tilts again and not in our favor. My forces place a despot, not once do they waver. And as the palace is breached, I'll take what I can reach. And for Abaddon's throat, your life is beyond reproach. By the despicable's hands, our hope is scattered like sand. And every outcome I wanted sits above the unhaunted. Should have kept deeper still, buried my grave to fill. Soon I will have all your heads. You should have checked I was dead. And I can still see their faces. Their trusting look led astray. Only blood can amend this.